Support for today's episode comes from the Diocesan Annual Campaign. Your donation is vital in continuing our mission of evangelization and helping our community grow in their faith, love, and understanding. Support from donations helped us to produce over 57 original episodes last year that were spread across terrestrial radio, internet-based platforms, and social media outreach. This year, we're planning to share even more original content on relevant topics in the church, current events, and questions you've always wanted to hear answered. The 2024 annual campaign is now open and accepting donations. So if you've loved what you've listened to in the last 2 years of our programming, thank you so much for being a part of the Candid Catholic Convos community, and please consider making a donation to this year's campaign to help us to continue to spread the word of God across the airwaves. Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Candid Catholic Convos. My oldest son is getting ready to make his first communion in a couple weeks, and I can't tell you how proud and excited I am for him. We just got his suit the other day, and when he tried it on, he looked so grown up. Time is an absolute thief, but it's also the best gift. It's brought back a flood of emotions for me from when I was making my first communion. I remember practicing at school. I remember my dress with the tulle that made me itch and tights that I absolutely loathed. I remember not wanting a veil, so my godmother bought me a wreath of fresh flowers to wear in my hair, which my teenage cousin styled for me. I remember all the photos, which I've been digging out to show my son, who still doesn't believe I was ever his age. And I remember the big Italian party we had afterwards to celebrate. Back then, it was something I just did. I went to church because my parents made me. Same thing for Catholic school. It wasn't until I was much older that I realized what they were giving me was a foundation to stand on, a home to come home to no matter how far I traveled. And I want to lay the same foundation for my sons. But I'm not a theologian by any stretch of the imagination, and neither were my parents. And what about those of us who discover Catholicism later in life, or who aren't in a position to send their kids to Catholic school? How can we do our best as parents and caregivers, as the hands and feet of Jesus, to teach the faith to others? Becky Davis, the Family Ministries Coordinator for St. Joseph's Parish in Mechanicsburg, sits down with me today to unpack all of the wonderful resources available to those who want to learn and those who want to support others in their faith journey. Becky, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I'm really excited to have you here and to kind of learn more about firsts in the church.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
So this is what I usually find is like the hardest question for most people when it should be the easiest, but it's really not. But would you mind telling me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably have a whole podcast just on that. I guess probably the biggest thing to know that'll kind of steer this conversation a little bit is I'm a convert to the Catholic faith.
Are you really?
Yeah. So I grew up in church. I grew up Lutheran. And then I went to a Catholic college. I went to St. Vincent out in Latrobe. And my time there really formed me in the Catholic faith. I ended up studying Catholic theology as my major out there. And as I asked a lot of questions and learned a lot of things and also met people who were on fire for their faith, it became obvious of the truth and the beauty of the Catholic faith. And then finally, a few years after college, I converted to becoming Catholic. Worked at a Catholic camp and retreat center out in Kansas for a year and a half, which was a lot of fun, but I missed home. So ended up back here in Harrisburg. I grew up in Dillsburg, so not too far from here. I worked at St. Catherine Drexel as the pastoral associate for about 5 years, and now I'm at St. Joe's as the family ministries coordinator.
That's really cool. So it's awesome that you get to kind of like use your personal experience in your role and be like, I've been there. I know what you're going through.
Yes. Amen. Exactly.
And I guess speaking as a convert, this is kind of especially poignant, but what does it mean to be a Catholic and not just Christian?
Yeah. So as like Christians, as baptized Christians, we're all part of that invisible reality and the invisible church. But to be Catholic, we get to be part of that visible unity. And the best part of that, of course, is receiving the Eucharist, right? When I read John 6 and like read it thoroughly and slowly and understood, I need the Eucharist. Like I need that. And the Catholic faith is what has that. So that's for me the biggest part of being Catholic. But it's also being connected to a history, right? And a history that starts with Jesus Christ himself. So being Catholic, I'm connected to that. And I have a responsibility within that as well to know that faith well and to share that faith well.
I love that because I was born and raised Catholic, but I kind of like walked away for a while. And for me, like it was just something we did, you know, like, oh, mom and dad go to church, so I guess I have to go to church too. Like it wasn't until later when I came back to the faith that I was like, I get it now.
Yeah.
So, you know, like now we send my kids to school. I have a second grader and a first grader and a pre-K, and they all go to Catholic school. But there are, you know, a lot of families who choose not to send their children to Catholic school for whatever reason, but they maybe still want them educated in the faith, or like you who came to the faith later in life. How does the church welcome everyone from all walks of life? Like what does that look like?
So there's always a pathway in, right? And some are like more direct and more traditional and more simple. Some take a little longer and are more complicated, but there's always a pathway to becoming Catholic and to share that fullness with confirmation and the Eucharist and such. For kids that, you know, are baptized and, you know, just aren't going to Catholic school, there's religious education programs that basically all of the parishes have. And yeah, it's an opportunity outside of their regular school day to learn about the faith. And there they'd receive the sacraments in the same timeline that the Catholic school kids would. But for those who come to the faith later in life, I sort of went through RCIA. My journey's interesting. I did not take a traditional pathway, right? Here I am like, here's the pathway and here's where I went.
Yeah.
And you know what? The church works with people like me too. Because I quit RCIA like 3 different times. Between just moving and just a couple programs that weren't a good fit. And for me, eventually, I was at St. Matthew's up in Dauphin and talked to Father Clark. And I'm like, I have a degree in Catholic theology and I've been through parts of RCIA 3 times. Do I need to do this again? He's like, no, let's just have a conversation and see where you're at. So for those that are fully formed in the Christian faith already and have like an understanding of Catholicism, sometimes it's an easier pathway into being confirmed.
Yeah. So what is, because I never went to CCD or religious education outside of a Catholic school. What does that kind of look like? Or can you talk a little bit about what the RCIA process? Don't they call it something different now? Or
they're headed toward OCIA.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're changing it from like rite of Christian initiation to order of Christian initiation. But we're still in that in-between time, which
yeah.
is a little bit of limbo. But
oh, yeah. There's always that period of limbo.
Yeah. But for the kids in the parishes, I mean, some of them look a little bit different, like the hows, like the specifics of like when they meet or like, you know, how often they meet or things like that. But there's some guidelines that the diocese sets and such, or even that the church at large has set for us. With the kids for St. Joe's, I'll just speak to our program.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. We have an awesome director of religious, or coordinator rather, of religious education. and he coordinates all our catechists, who are our teachers for the kids, and they meet in their grade levels once a week on Mondays for like an hour and a half. And they, yeah, we use like some of the different textbooks and things like that to that, you know, the Catholic school kids would still be using in their religion classes. We just use them in this class outside of school. And yeah, they learn all of the faith there. But we found it important at St. Joe's as well, especially with like the first and second grade as they're preparing for First Communion, that we educate not only the kids, but also the parents. Right. Because in second grade, like, yes, in some ways, like you're able to like make that choice and such and are at the age of reason, as the church says. But we know in second grade, like if they're going to be coming to Mass and things like that, like it's their parents who need to bring them. Like as a parent, you know, your second grader is not going to get there on her own. So we find it so important that we have a parent workshop that we use formed primarily as our resource, and we use presence on the Eucharist to kind of guide some time of prayer, some time of discussion, some time of fellowship. And then we also use Forgiven and then some other resources to talk about reconciliation as well, to try to help our parents learn a little bit more and to learn on an adult level what this sacrament is. Because our parents are really the first and primary teachers of their kids, and we're just there to support them. So they have to know it well, so that way we can support them and they can help pass it on to their children.
Oh my gosh, yes, because it has been a long time since I made my first communion and my confirmation. And then my son especially is like learning about it in school, and then he comes home and he has questions. I'm like, that is a great question. And I remember my first communion being a big to do, like the white dress, and I had flowers in my hair, and I had tights on that I absolutely hated. And I know my son is gonna like hate the suit that he has to wear, but at least he picked it out. It reminded me a lot of like a wedding, and then getting married. I was like, oh, this is a lot like my first communion, where it's like the big thing with the party. And so why do we make such a big deal about certain sacraments, especially communion and confirmation?
I mean, because they are a big deal, right? Like there's so much grace being received that day, just like it would a wedding. And I mean, there's so many times where the Eucharist is compared to like a wedding feast. So we see so many of those comparisons. I like to think too, you know, for our kids, like receiving their first communion, like always we want our best for God, but like on that special day especially, like we want our best for God. And though they might not think the suit is their best, as grown-ups we're like, we want the best for them.
Yes,
as they celebrate that time. And same with like confirmation too, we want the best. It looks a little different, you know, as a second grade and as a teenager and as an adult, but it's all about our best for the Lord.
I love that you called it a wedding feast, because that makes the comparison so much easier to a wedding. Like when you have this big reception afterwards and communion, this is the first time you get to participate like truly in being a part of the church. I know my son is super excited about that. He's like, I get to go up for communion now instead of sitting behind or like just following behind mommy, just like waiting. So I know that he's super excited about that. And I'm so glad he did not pick a white suit, because I don't know why, but with boys, like ketchup just comes out of nowhere and just end up on his bright white suit. I was like, this is not going to end well. But you mentioned like a prep process. I remember, you know, we spent months in Catholic school learning about communion and confirmation and reconciliation. And then when we were getting married, we had a whole process that we had to go through. Talk to me about the sacraments. Like, what does the process kind of look like going into each one? And why does a church require a prep process? Why can't you just walk into a church and be like, I'm Catholic now. Here I am.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different thoughts that come to mind. First, that grace builds upon nature, right? And so as we're receiving that grace, we need to know like what's going on. The sacraments aren't just like magic, right?
Yeah.
That we have to know what's going on. I think too of the Bible verse. It's in the New Testament. can't tell you which one. It's probably Paul.
It's there.
yeah. Where he says, you know, discern the body and blood of the Lord, or else you're drinking judgment on yourself. And so it's so important that, like, we do discern that. And that means, of course, you know, being in a state of grace and, like, being without sin when we receive. But also, like, we should know what's going on. And we don't have to know every, like, I don't know everything. It's impossible to know everything about the faith. But we should have a basic understanding of what it is that we're receiving, and in the Eucharist, who it is that we're receiving, and this grace that we're receiving in all the sacraments.
I love that, that it's like we don't have to go to theological studies. Like I didn't. My Catholic education extends to, you know, Catholic school, and then now working with the diocese and getting to talk with people like yourself who are more educated in it, so that I can say, oh, and then help teach my kids. So, but it's nice to know that those who are looking to convert or just to be brought up in the faith, like the resources are there, and there are people who are there to help you. We're not like, he doesn't know that, or she didn't study the Bible this week, or it's that judgment isn't there. And I feel like that's such a misconception that people have, is like they're almost afraid to walk into the church and ask, because I think if they did, there would be so many people there who would just welcome them with open arms, say, here, let me help you so that you can be the best that you can be.
Yeah, I expect, especially like in RCIA, like I expect people to ask questions and have questions. I learned because I ask questions, and my friends in college, especially, like they'd ask me at the time I was Lutheran, like, oh, what do Lutherans believe about the saints or Mary or different things? And for me, I'd look it up and be like, oh, that doesn't totally make sense. And I'd ask them, like, what did the Catholics believe about this? And then they'd explain it. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So I ask questions. Like, there's an impossible amount of information to know and to learn. So it's good to continually ask questions about our faith and dive deeper, because there's always a deeper level and something new to learn.
Absolutely. A healthy curiosity. But I can imagine, like, I mean, because some of these concepts in Catholicism are heavy even for me. And I was born and raised Catholic. And I assume other adults, I hope I'm not the only one, who occasionally has trouble grasping some of these concepts. But how do we introduce it to kids? So, like, I know my kids always come home, and sometimes they have, like, real stumper questions. I'm like, I don't know the answer to that. You might want to ask Father so-and-so or ask your teacher. But how do we introduce the faith to not even just kids, but maybe anybody who's unfamiliar with the faith, and then also feel comfortable with responding to questions that we might not have the answers to?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's sometimes challenging, right? And with kids, you have to meet them at whatever level they're at. So with younger ones, it's got to be concrete. It's simple things. It's things like pictures and stories and like a children's Bible and, you know, just going to Mass and being in that atmosphere and being like, oh, Father's wearing red today because, you know, whatever reason, or like, oh, he's wearing purple, we're in Lent now, and just starting to introduce them to like very tangible, concrete things, and then building upon that. And then, you know, as they get more toward middle school, the upper elementary, where they can start to think abstractly a little more, introducing some of those deeper, heavier concepts and starting with a basis, right? Like who is God? Who is Jesus? What is the church? And like, where did it come from? And then building upon that, okay, so we have the church and we have these sacraments. What does that mean? And then how do we respond to those and live that out in our life? And there'll always be questions that I get questions all the time in RCIA, like the very specific, very detailed, like, I have no idea. I never thought of that. and it's okay to say, you know, that's a great question. I don't know. let me see if I can look into it and get back to you. Or like you said, why don't you ask Father so-and-so? Or I know at St. Joe's School, we have a seminarian that comes in with our middle school. He comes up from the Mount, and a lot of times they just do like Q&A where the middle schoolers can ask their sometimes random off-the-wall questions. And usually he has an answer, but not always. And sometimes he too can say like, I don't know, let me look into that and get back to you. And we have great resources like the Catechism and the Bible and different things and, you know, online platforms like Formed and just different. There's so many resources online that can help us find the answers that we're looking for. But sometimes, too, it's a mystery, like, and we don't know the answers to everything. And that's OK.
Yeah, that's part of the faith, right? Is that, you know, some things don't have an answer and we have to have faith and we have to trust that it'll be revealed to us eventually.
Yeah, exactly. We will know all things in heaven. And till we get there, we just keep plugging along and learning as much and knowing as much as we can.
I think I even said that to my six-year-old once. He had a really good question and I can't remember what it was, but I was like, oh, I think it was, did the dinosaurs have... something with their feet. He asked about something about the dinosaur's feet. And I was like, well, that one you might have to save for when you get up to heaven in a long, 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 long time from now and ask God, because I don't even know if the scientists know the answer to that one.
Yep. God knows everything. But we as finite creatures, we don't. We're still learning. We're always learning more. You could research it.
Yeah. So we are practicing Catholics, and also I don't relate it to like medicine because we also call like medicine a practice. So, but I feel like it's somewhat similar. What constitutes a practicing Catholic, and why do we call it a practice?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it is because, I mean, none of us are perfect Catholics. Right. I love, there's a quote from Saint Jose Maria Escriva that says, a saint is a sinner that keeps trying.
Oh, I like that.
And like, I so much relate to that. And I'm grateful so much for the sacrament of reconciliation. As a convert, that's something that I really like hold on to closely, that I'm not perfect. Right. And none of us are perfect in our Catholic faith or in our Christian faith or just in general. And so we do have to like keep trying, keep working at it, keep learning more. I need the grace of the sacraments, of the Eucharist and of reconciliation to help me to become the saint that God is calling me to be. And that's a lifelong journey.
Absolutely. And you're, like you said, it's not like an overnight, it's not an overnight thing. I think I keep bringing up my kids, but like, it's so funny how it parallels. But my son was, we were playing catch in the backyard and he wanted to throw like a major league pitcher. And I was like, well, at one point that major league pitcher was also 8 years old and didn't throw like that. You know what the difference between you and him is? He didn't stop trying.
Yes.
So I feel like, like you said, like a saint is a sinner who never stops trying. Or yeah, like when I did martial arts, they were like, a black belt is a white belt who never gave up.
Yeah.
So it's, oh, I like that. That one's going to stick with me for a while.
Yeah. And with our like confirmation, we receive that strengthening and all those gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's just time to start practicing that and putting it into action.
I love that. I love that. Talk to me a little bit about resources, especially because you've walked that path before. Like if they want to become Catholic or if they want to instill the faith in their kids and maybe aren't in the position to go to Catholic school, or maybe just somebody who like needs a refresher on the faith, what kind of resources are out there for people in those situations?
Yeah. Formed is one of my go-to resources. Our parish has it available for all our parishioners, and I know a number of parishes do as well. There's just such great resources on there, on the sacraments. There's great kids resources too. I love Brother Francis. He's just like this little Franciscan monk that teaches the faith in a very like kid type way. So, I mean, let's be honest, our kids are on devices
shows all the time.
Yeah. So we might as well like put something good and wholesome in front of them. So that's a great resource. He had like a little Lenten, like everyday reflection type thing that was so cool that I know some of our teachers used. But there's just so much on there, like for kids, for adults, or rather for adults that really want to dive into the Bible or the catechism. I always recommend Father Mike's Catechism in a Year.
It's so good.
Or Bible in a Year. Like I've had a family in like RCIA that they're like, yeah, we've been through the Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. And I'm like, great. Like we don't really need to go through all the classes and everything. Like you're pretty ready. Like, because he just breaks it open. And if you've been through the whole catechism, like, you know more about the faith than most of the people.
Exactly.
So it's just a great resource there. And like you said, a great refresher too. We have Bible studies and things at our parish from Ascension, but there's always something going on at all the different parishes to get plugged into as well to learn more in addition to those online resources.
I love that. And it's just about asking for the help, you know, like we're not going to know if you need anything, if you just sit there and like, don't say anything, but you know, the resources are there and there are people who are ready to walk with you, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, Becky, this was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. And I hope that it kind of gave somebody listening that little push of wanting to take the next step. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And yeah, no matter like where someone is on their journey, there's always a next step and the church is there ready to meet them and walk with them.
Yes, I love it. It's a journey. Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.